Okay, John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own, those who were his own, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thus far, God's holy, inspired, and infallible Word. Thanks be to God. Well, as a kind of a follow-up to our celebration of Christmas, I want us to consider the phrase, He was in the world. But even more, the whole idea that He, that is Jesus Christ, was in anything. I thought of some clever titles I might use today, like In with the In Crowd. This is all about ins today, but to ins that involve Jesus Christ. What was Christ in? And of course, from the passage, I did select this title, He was in the world. Now, before his incarnation, that is before Jesus took flesh, before he was in the world, he was in the Father. In the 18th verse of this chapter, we read that Jesus is the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. That's John 1:18. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. So he was in the Father. And here with this statement, we are reminded that Christ was pre-existent as far as we're concerned. That is, before he was born, he was somebody. Before he was born, he had a life, of course, an eternal life. He had a life in God. He was God, because that's what the first verse of John says. He was God. And as we're reminded of that, we have to gain a great appreciation of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, just who He is, not just a certain person, a special person, a wonderful person who was born into the world, but this is God with whom we're dealing. God did not need to create anything. There's an old play, I think it was called Green Pastures. And in it there's this actor who's playing God. And the actor says, as God, he says, I'm lonely. I'm going to make me a man. Well, that may have a nice little ring to it, and we may think it's a clever bit from the playwright. But in fact, God is never lonely. God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has all the company He needs. Now, it's hard for us to grasp that and to fully realize how there can be one God who exists in three persons. But this is what Scripture tells us. So when we say that He was in the bosom of the Father, we're saying that the Lord Jesus Christ was just fine where He was, that God was perfectly self-sufficient the way He was. He did not need the world. And when we say He, Jesus, was in the world, He didn't need to be in the world as far as God was concerned. God had everything to satisfy Himself there. But nevertheless, you see, God was visionary concerning the world. That is, He had, for His own reasons, His own good pleasure, a desire to create, a desire to make a world for people to live in. And this visionary God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, saw the world as He desired it to be, saw the people that He desired to have for Himself, and all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of God committed Himself to it. But we're particularly thinking of the Lord Jesus today, and He committed Himself in this vision of the world that He wanted, knowing that He would have to come down from heaven and be in the world and suffer in order for the world to turn out like He wanted it to be. God was visionary. Jesus was visionary in the bosom of the Father. And so, with this commitment, you see, back before the world ever began, this commitment in the bosom of the Father meant that the incarnation, the taking of flesh on the part of God Himself, was a certainty. It was going to happen, and nothing was going to cause it not to happen. So the first thing again, before His incarnation, before He took flesh, Jesus Christ was in the Father, envisioning what would take place. All right, before there was a world, again we read He was in the world, but before there was a world, Jesus Christ was in the beginning. That's how it starts off. The first three words of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. He was in the beginning. Verse 2. In the beginning. So, the Lord Jesus Christ was the Creator, we're told here. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This is what it means to be in the beginning. To be the Creator. And either you're going to be part of what was created, or you're going to stand apart from that and be the Creator. And the Lord Jesus wasn't created in one of our creeds, not the one we said this morning, but in the Nicene Creed. It says, begotten, not created. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the beginning, and all things came into being through Him, and all things have continued to have their existence because of Him. In Colossians 1:17, Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 17, we're told that in Him all things consist. In Him all things consist. In other words, we look scientifically at things like atoms and molecules and electrons and particles and these very things that make up this science of being. And we're told that the reason they hold together and don't fly apart, the reason that there's any real substance at all, is because in Him all things consist. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, it says, He upholds everything by the word of His power. In other words, again, it's because of Jesus that things hold together. And that's because in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning, He acted. He was in the beginning. And He continues, you see, to keep that world that He envisioned and then created. He keeps it together. And then there's one other little aspect of this, and that is that all men, all women, because they're sinners, need a new beginning. And this one who was in the beginning in the creation of the world is able to give a new beginning to those who need it, to those who want it. How many times do we say to ourselves, I wish I could do that over again? I wish I could have a new beginning. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is in the beginning. He can give you a new beginning. He can give you a new heart. He can make you a new person to follow Him as you should follow Him. Before there was a world, Jesus Christ was in the beginning. So He was in the bosom of the Father, and He was in the beginning. And then before His actual birth, He was in the womb of Mary. In Luke 1, verse 31, the angel says to her, that thing which shall be in your womb is a holy thing. The Son of God, said the angel. So He was in the bosom of the Father. He was in the beginning, and He was in the womb of Mary. You will conceive, said the angel, in your womb. He completed a very miraculous transition. Can you imagine? God in heaven, who needs nothing else, came down to our world. Again, that's part of the vision that He had. And He entered the womb of the Virgin Mary miraculously, but He was there, and not just as some foreign object, but He was there as part of His transition from heaven to earth to be fully a human being, and He became biologically one of us. Now, His birth was a virgin birth, to be sure, but that doesn't make Him less human. He was fully human from the egg to the embryo to the baby in the womb of Mary. He humbled Himself. Being in that womb suggests humility that was only surpassed by His willingness to go to the cross and die there for sinners like me, like you. He humbled Himself to the point of being completely dependent. And what is more an example of dependence than the baby in the womb? That baby in the womb is totally dependent upon the mother for nourishment, for life, the blood supply, all of these things. And here was the God of heaven, the one who made heaven and earth, coming down, entering that womb miraculously, being fully human and therefore fully dependent, totally humbled. And then, you see, because of that, He shares everything with us except for one thing. He's not a sinner. Because of the virgin birth, He didn't receive that evil human nature that we all have. But He was fully like us in every other way. Hebrews 2:17 says that it was necessary for Him to be made like us. In all the ways that we are, He has to be, and He was, and is. So He was in the bosom of the Father, He was in the beginning, and He was in the womb of Mary in that totally humbled and dependent state. And then after His birth, we come then to the direct application of that phrase from verse 10, He was in the world. After His birth, He was out to where He lived an active life as a participant in all of humanity. And that's important for us to see. He wasn't kept in a bubble somewhere. He wasn't in a sort of observatory where scientists looked at Him and so forth. He came out of that womb and He was in the world. When we celebrate Christmas and we talk about Him being laid in a manger, it all seems so cute and nice, but He came out into the cold of this world. He didn't really have a permanent home at that time. He was laid, in the most humble circumstances. And there, He began to experience this life. He was in the world, an active participant in it. And then we're told in Luke 2:52 that He grew. He grew in wisdom. Now, I think that includes some of the spiritual wisdom, of course, that he displayed. But he just learned to think, basically. He learned to use his wits. Learned to be a human being in that sense. He grew in stature. That is, he got bigger and taller and wider until he reached adulthood. In wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And that's a very important phrase, in favor with God and man. From God's point of view, this one grew to manhood in a perfect way. I'm not sure everybody appreciated that around him. A lot of people, no doubt, even his brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters, if you will, thought that maybe he was being arrogant or that he was being this way or that way that wasn't normal. But for the most part, the view that people had of him was of a very godly, efficient, useful human being. God looked at it that way and man looked at it that way too. And so that nobody said, this is an extraterrestrial. Nobody said about Jesus, he doesn't really belong here among us. Indeed, he did belong because that's the way that God intended it. And then we're told that as he grew to manhood, he ministered to his own people. In Mark 1:14, we read that Jesus came preaching the gospel. And in John 1, here where we've been reading, it says he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But what does that mean? It means he was attempting to minister to them, to reveal the Father to them. To show them the way of life, the way of righteousness. They didn't appreciate that. But that's what he did when he was in the world. He came as a servant. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. He came ministering to his own people. When it says he grew in favor with God and man, it means that even though not everybody appreciated him as they should, no one could deny that he was a ministering, serving kind of person. But most important of all, he redeemed his people, those who would believe in him, those who received him. To as many as received him, welcomed him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God, as many as believed on his name. He was born, Scripture says, under the law. He was born in such a way that men who believed in the law, who believed in God, could see that he was leading them away from sin, away from death, unto righteousness himself. And then he became the curse for them. Scripture tells us that he redeemed those who were under the law. That when he did go to the cross in that most humiliating and awesome way, that he succeeded in redeeming, saving people who were sinners. He was in the world specifically to do that. Paul says, he came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul adds, of whom I am the chief. But that's why he came into the world. From the bosom of the Father when he envisioned things, to the point of creation, to being in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the whole point of it all was to go and save people from their sins, to redeem them. And that never would have happened unless he had grown and ministered and gone to the cross and died there for those who believe in him. And then let us say this, he arose back into the world. He died, yes. And you might say, well, then he was out of the world after that. Well, briefly, we just repeated today, he descended into hell, meaning that he was really dead. But then he rose where? He rose back into the world. He didn't rise some far off, unreachable place. When he rose, the tomb was empty, but he was in the world. And he ate with his disciples and he taught his disciples. Now he did ascend into heaven and that's where he is today. But the point is that he arose back into the world. He was in the world after his resurrection. And he was in the world as the victor over death. And may I say this morning that the thing the world is looking for, the thing the world is hoping for, is somehow to be victor over death. And Jesus did exactly that. After his birth, he was in the world. After his death on the cross, he was back in the world again. Now, he did ascend into heaven. And after his ascension, he came by his Spirit back into the world to live in our hearts. In John 14, 17, and 18, Jesus says, I will come to you. But it's clear from the context there that he's saying he will come by his Holy Spirit, because he says when the Spirit comes, he'll teach you. When the Spirit is with you, the things will be different. But then he says, I will come to you. And all true believers, you see, are born of the Spirit. We call it being born again. That's nothing less than the Lord Jesus himself by his Spirit coming and making that new beginning that we talked about a minute ago. All true believers are born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He was in the world, but if we know him as our Savior, he's in our hearts. All true believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Again, the mystery of the Trinity. But Christ in you, says the Apostle Paul, the hope of glory. We'll touch on that just again in just a moment. But the Spirit of Christ, you see, is working in the world, in all believers. He was in the world, but my friends, he is in the world and in our hearts. The Spirit of Christ is working in all believers to produce righteousness. Because when we say that he envisioned saving sinners, he envisioned them being righteous people. Which leads to our last point now. And that is, forevermore Christ lives in glory. From the earth, Christ has ascended to heaven. We've seen that in other studies that we've done. The angels said to the disciples who were watching this happen, he said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven will come again in like manner as you've seen him go. But he did ascend somewhere, and he is now in heaven. He is in glory, and there he shall reign forever and ever. And he is preparing a place there. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing a place there for us to live with him in glory. We shall be with him in glory. That's what Paul says again to the Colossians. When he appears, we shall be with him in glory. It's interesting, isn't it? All these places that Jesus is in the bosom of the Father, in the beginning, in the womb of Mary, in the world, in our hearts, and in glory. As you continue on into the new year, just rejoice in all the things that Jesus was in and is in, and that you can be in too, when you worship and receive him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning to be clearly in us and powerfully in the world around us. And Lord, take us at last into glory for your own sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.